You're listening to a Mint podcast brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hi, I'm Shovik Das. I'm Leslie DeMonte.
And I'm Deepti Ahuja. You're listening to Mint Etc.,
a podcast where we will talk about important developments in technology
and how they will transform our lives, work, and play as we know it.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Mint Etc. I'm your host, Gautam Srinivasan, and today's exclusive episode is brought to you by Slack. Here we will deep dive into the essence of productivity, a concept that goes beyond the desire to maximize output for increased profit. It is about creating an atmosphere that thrives on innovation and creativity. In this episode, we will explore the interconnected dynamics of productivity, adaptability to change, and productivity trends that are shaping the way we work. Joining us on this journey is Rahul Sharma, Slack Country Manager India at Salesforce. Now, with an extensive background in strategy and planning, general management, and leadership, Rahul has spent the last decade of his career delivering high-impact results for SaaS organizations in high-impact revenue-driving roles. He is a technology industry executive with over 20 years of experience in building and scaling businesses. With a passion for results, he enjoys building and rapidly growing businesses from the ground up. In this note, great to have you on board for this conversation, Rahul.
Thank you for having me, Gautam. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
Fantastic. Well, Rahul, I'd like to start with a quote which reads that do the best you can until you know better. And then when you know better, do better. So in that context, as workplaces evolve with hybrid and remote models, in your opinion, how can organizations leverage AI, automation tools, and data-driven decision-making to enhance productivity? Because today we are in the age of meaningfully using technology to improve productivity rather than just sort of following the herd in terms of using buzzwords for technology. The output is what is key for a lot of the workforce and for a lot of the companies where now profit is center of the narrative rather than just your goal. So in that context, your opening thoughts on how all these technologies are enhancing workforce productivity.
Yeah, you actually, you know, hit the nail on its head. AI is a buzzword these days, and you're seeing so many organizations trying to figure out a way of how can AI impact their businesses. And, you know, we've been doing work on AI for well over 10 years now. And the way we think about it, you know, at the foundation level, I think the foundation model of AI is built up on data, right? And there have been some good press around AI, there have been some not so good press about AI. And essentially what it boils down to is the element of trust. I mean, how much can you trust a module to build your AI on, right? So at Salesforce and Slack, what we think about is starting with trust. And what we need to do is demystify AI in the workplace productivity context. So we all know that AI has its own challenges. You know, hallucination is one of them. Trust is another one. And it really boils down to the fact that, you know, all of the AI's data model are built on using data from various different sources, right? Any organization who is trying to build out a data model for AI using, you know, elements of large learning models, etc., want to make sure that they can rely on the source of data that they're using, right? It's not going into the hands where it can, be used for some other purpose. But AI is a little different when it comes to its competitors. We utilize the structured and unstructured data from the businesses to find information, surface recommendations, and provide summaries. In a nutshell, the way you can think about it is that Slack is the AI-powered productivity platform. What I want to make sure people and audience understand this is your data is not our business. And this is what is critical to the element of bringing trust, right? Over the past few quarters that we've launched our AI platform inside of Slack, we've seen from our internal analysis that users of Slack could save up to 97 minutes per week using Slack's AI features, right? So that's a huge improvement in productivity. We've also seen adoption of AI boost productivity by 53%. This is as per the Slack's State of Work report, which brings in elements of integrating AI, automation, data-driven decisions to enhance efficiency. So think about building in AI-powered virtual assistant, workflows, predictive analysis for resource planning, and intelligent decision support systems. So this is all part of the Slack's productivity platform.
Wow, 53% boost in productivity. And I think you hit the nail on the head by using the keyword trust, because at the end of the day, AI is sort of an amplifying force, right? It's a force for good. But if things go wrong, it can also amplify the reverse. So you need to make sure that you've got all of your ducks in a row in terms of your data initiatives to make sure that AI is working for you, for the organization, and of course, for the workforce as well. But taking that data point that you mentioned, that 53% boost in productivity in the context of distributed teams, because we are in a globalized era, teams are spread all over. And of course, post the pandemic, there's been an increasing reliance on remote work. So I want to understand from you, Rahul, what role do digital collaboration tools play in fostering effective communication and teamwork among distributed teams so that the productivity engine keeps running more and more effectively? And of course, the talent pool becomes more diverse and in a sense, more strengthened because of that diversity.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you think about it, with this distributed workforce all over the globe, you know, that was the foundation on which Slack was built on. I mean, just a backstory, a small one, which is on how the original of Slack was. Our founders were actually making a gaming app, which was a multiplayer gaming app distributed, and the developers were sitting out of different parts of the world. And they wanted to build a communication source where they could collaborate with each other to build that app. But that app never took off. But what we saw the pivot happening was that Slack was born out of that idea, right? A few examples of how we've seen organizations use Slack in their environment to boost productivity, which is, across multiple time zones, across various countries that people operate in, is that, think about all hands meet that I want to do. And I have a distributed workforce sitting in ASEAN, in EMEA, in the US. Not all the teams can come together for that all hands, right? And what we do is we record our all hands and then put it up on Slack for the workforce in different parts of the organization to view it at the time convenient to them, and then continue that conversation within messaging, within threads, about what they found interesting out of that, what they could contribute to, or ideas that can shape up the future narrative of it, right? And that's the idea of how Slack was born. And we all know that you take any business who uses technology, right? And the system of records that they use, marketing automation tools, customer relationship management tools, or what have you, all of the technologies that they use helps organizations do about 20-25% of the structured data work. But we all know in real life, work actually happens when conversations happen, right? You and I are talking about things, so we get into ideas that we can share forward to execute, right? And it's those real-life examples which come in an office environment where you're just, pivoting your chair over to a colleague and say, hey, I want to know more about this one subject that I think you're an expert on. And that conversation then leads into a good productive conversation, right? So think about doing that in a way where you could do that with almost anybody around the world, right? We have features like Huddles, which is a quick audio-video conversation with your colleague. You just need to ping somebody and say, hey, are you available for a huddle? And, jump onto a huddle just like you're meeting some colleague in the office, right? You don't need to put in a structured calendar invite for a 30-minute meeting or a 10-minute conversation, right? And those are things which help drive, this multi-complex, multi-environment workplace.
Absolutely. It's those digital links which power the human connection, because at the end of the day, we have to recognize that as humans, great ideas can come about at any point in time. And you might not need, as you mentioned, a half an hour conversation. You might sometimes just need a 5-10 minute conversation with your colleague to flesh things out. So as long as technology helps that, enables that flexibility, magic can happen in the workforce. But I also want to take the conversation in a certain direction. This theme especially came out during the pandemic, which is of burnout, because at the end of the day, when you keep having these meetings, the question which some had raised was, what happens to the workforce if they keep doing this continuously, since it's such a marked shift in the way that we have worked over the previous decades so far. So your thoughts, Rahul, that in the pursuit of productivity, what strategies can businesses employ to effectively balance this drive with measures to prevent burnout and maintain high levels of job satisfaction among employees?
Yeah, and there are some remarkable pieces of work that I've seen by various organizations in this space. I'll talk about one of them, which is a customer of Slack, and then another one which we use here at Salesforce. A customer of ours uses Slack to actually onboard employees who are going to be joining, let's say, in the next couple of weeks' time. And the way they go about doing that is they bring in the future employee onto a Slack channel with people who he or she would closely work with, their team members, their extended team. Not only just to, you know, pre-board them into an experience of, here's your colleagues, this is what they do, but also get insight from them, right? So it's a very nice way of engaging with workforce who's going to come and work for you in the next couple of weeks' time, right? But I think one of the most remarkable things that I've seen at Salesforce and Slack is a concept that we call as flex team agreements. Now, each team with the overlaps that they have with the other teams. So, for example, a sales team overlapping with a pre-sales team and a post-sales team, you might not necessarily be in the office at the same time. But the flex team agreement sort of allows you to come together to define how your team will show up, right? So it defines ways in which you can align on, okay, we possibly will explore on being in office 2 days in a week. And these are the 2 days that we should come together and do work which is collaborative, which requires deep discussions. And then rest of the days we could be remote and be doing follow-up on those deep discussions by doing some focused works, right? And expanding on that focused work would be the idea of collaborating with your team members over Slack on the project that you're going to work on, right? So that's the bit that I could talk about it in terms of the experience that I've seen our customers have on having these arrangements, as well as what we do here at Slack and Salesforce.
Absolutely. And it also drives focus where you're at the workspace, the physical workspace, with a focus on activity rather than just being there for the sake of it. And you can remote work when required, so that it's the maximized use of your time and resources in terms of collaboration and, of course, taking things forward.
This whole notion of work being a location got shattered by the pandemic. I think any business around the world, every business around the world got impacted with it. But all businesses managed to work through that to figure out a way where work is not tethered to a location. Work could happen from anywhere, right? And post-pandemic, we're seeing very clear emergence of that, right? I mean, people are going into offices to collaborate and work with their colleagues, but also finding ways in which they can maintain work-life balance by continuing work and not get to that burnout state that you were mentioning earlier.
Absolutely. A divergence to this talking point is also the value that tasks bring to the table, especially when you're remote working, because at the end of the day, the bean counters will always be working to see, you know, how much are these tasks, are remote tasks bringing value to the table? Are employees as productive as they were in a remote sense versus when they are in the workspace? So physical workspace. So Rahul, your thoughts on how can organizations identify which tasks are considered high value, and what strategy, in your opinion, can they implement to prioritize these tasks for their employees? So, because as I mentioned, today we are in the age of productivity for a certain outcome, business value, which means team leaders need to identify which tasks should be prioritized by their employees. So your thoughts on this?
I think it's a very important topic. It's equally important to ask employees and teams what they find repetitive and mundane, and bring them onto a journey of how they can use technologies like AI to assist in various kinds of tasks that they're doing, right? It has to be a two-way conversation. Our recent research, which we did with over 10,000 desk workers globally, found that nearly 43% of respondents have little or no guidance from the leaders on how to use these AI tools. More on this, those workers who did get guidance from the businesses and the leaders involved in that were six times more likely to have experimented with AI tools at work. So clearly, the priority for leaders is to work with their teams to identify areas that AI can assist. And in that process, think about the types of AI they want to implement. An assistant, it can be a very important way. Building in integrations, you know, there's a report that I recently read from an analyst which said that any organization could use anything between 23 to over 1,000 pieces of software in their environment, right? Now, imagine having to log into these softwares to do tasks, right? And Slack integrates with over 2,600 technologies. So I could join a meeting from Slack. I could approve a travel request coming to my desk from Slack. I could approve an expense management, raise time off, and so on and so forth, right from within that one system of engagement, right? Mm-hmm. That is a huge productivity driver for me because I'm not then logging into those 1,000 pieces of software that I need to use, but I'm getting that task done right from integrating that inside of Slack itself, right? And that's a huge improvement in boosting productivity. If you visualize your day on how you can bring your teams together, when teams are empowered to transform their own process like this, the result is that they deliver very highly on the KPIs that they're getting measured on. And that, I think, is the hero moment for productive employees.
Absolutely. And it's also a momentum play because as more and more of these small wins sort of come by, the transformation becomes more exponential because more and more stakeholders can be brought into the ecosystem in terms of agreeing to change the way the leader team dynamic works in terms of, addressing a particular business outcome. And this light touch system of engagement, as you outlined, one system where you can access anything and everything from the organization's perspective to do your job in a better way. That works from an employee perspective as well. As you mentioned, you don't have to go across, say, 10 or 15 different platforms to try and do two or three different things. Now, that brings me to my next question to you, Rahul, because considering the diverse range of workplace personas and preferences, I want to know your opinion on how can businesses tailor their approaches to technology adoption and organizational goals to accommodate different strengths and weaknesses while maximizing overall productivity?
Yeah, I think to accommodate diverse workplace personas and preferences, organizations could start by adopting goals and embracing flexible solutions, which are more personalized and inclusive, both in their approach and outline. This will help businesses maximize overall productivity. It will help in creating an adaptable work environment, and it will provide a unique strength to each persona. You know, in India, we're an early tech adopter. The research report that I was mentioning to you earlier on Slack's workplace persona research, there were some very interesting highlights that came out for India as a workforce. First of all, it's a young workforce, average working population of less than 30 years old. And that's a good place to be because the technology adoption becomes very high, right? And the research came out with data points like 23% of the workforce were problem solvers, which means that they were highly action-oriented. They were looking at real-time problems, tackling them, solving them. There were about 10% of that workplace persona which were expressionists, which indicated that, you know, they were getting their voices heard about challenges that are facing. They may not be solving for them, but they are highlighting what the problems look like. And this indicated that, you know, AI was being embraced in the workplace. So these solutions over the time have enhanced productivity. You know, 75% adoption of AI and automation tool in India, which is, I think, highest compared to any other country. And employees who have adopted AI at their work, they are 53% more likely to have significantly higher levels of productivity than the ones who do not use it.
All right. But also taking that data point into consideration when we talk about upskilling and reskilling, because there the issue is for a young workforce, maybe upskilling and reskilling might not be much of an issue, but for a slightly older workforce, there might be. So your thoughts on the role that upskilling and reskilling initiatives need to play in boosting productivity and ensuring that employees remain adaptable in an ever-changing work landscape? Because somewhere for leadership, the question will also be that, you know, the technology landscape keeps changing and I need to drive my employees to upskill and reskill themselves. The question is, how do they do that in a manner that it doesn't seem abrasive, but rather the employees welcome the chance to upskill and reskill themselves?
Yeah, that's a very important point. And, you know, upskilling and reskilling has always been crucial for boosting productivity. We identify five different and distinct personas from that. There was a persona called the detective, the ones who are curious. They're looking for information. They're going around finding them from various sources. To the road warrior, the people who are always out in front of the customers, talking to people in the market, and they have some amazing insights that they can bring in and share with their colleagues, right? The networkers, the one who are using the, you know, any kind of a technology to connect with others and learn more about what they're doing, right? And the problem solvers and the expressionists. I mentioned these two earlier. For instance, employees who are natural problem solvers, they need hands-on learning experience. They like to get their hands dirty, so they want to look at a problem and then dive into it to solve for it, right? Whereas a different persona, like an expressionist, might need a different approach to getting upskilled or trained, right? So if you can relate your workforce to these five different kind of personas that exist, according to the Slack's research, you will find that you can apply unique learning methodology and upskilling initiatives to help all of them upskill. And AI is in the center of it. It clearly, there are a lot of workers who need to upskill, and the global use of AI in the workplace is at about 24%, which means one in four desk workers have not even tried AI. If you were to insert AI into that, you would get at least about 80% more productivity.
And separating the hype from reality, when we look at AI, it's now seen more as an augmentative force. But the question is, from the different personas that you have listed, from the detectives to the road warriors to the networkers, the question is, what role is AI and automation going to play in kind of freeing them up to do what they do best? So your thoughts on what AI and automation tools are going to do in terms of streamlining repetitive tasks and helping free up employees to focus on more strategic and creative endeavors? Because I swear we've just scratched the surface in terms of the possibilities. So what do you see things panning out in the next, say, 2 or 3 years?
Well, I think automation plays a very crucial role in streamlining repetitive tasks. We had the era of the RPAs where, you know, most of the mundane tasks were then put into a robotic process automation, and that increased a lot of productivity for tasks which are repetitive in nature. And this, you know, liberated employees from mundane activities that they were all doing, right? But you combine this with AI, these tools then start doing some transformational work, right? And they discover new ways to innovate on their own. You know, according to the research, what we found out was that 91% of respondents told us that automating routine tasks boosts their productivity. And not surprisingly, it saves them about 5 hours a week by automating those tasks. You know, a few examples that I can share with you is, you know, workflow builder. You can automate your routine tasks, connect, you know, applications to your system, streamline your data flow, you know, and get time freed up for more strategic and creative endeavors, right? And workflow is, it might seem like, you know, a technology term which could be heavy to use, but in the real world, it's now become low code and no code, which means that on an average, if you don't have technical skills also, you could still build workflows on yourself, right? Imagine, you know, examples of where I've seen workflow come in is senior leadership in an organization are requested more often than not from their workers across the world to provide executive coverage for upcoming customer meetings, right? And it takes a while for them to prepare for it because you've got to have a briefing document put together. You've got somebody else to come in and brief the person about who you're meeting, when you're meeting. All of this can be automated by use of workflow. So the exec who's preparing themselves to support your meeting could come in handy with all the documentation and background information that they require for the upcoming meeting, right? And these are just few examples of how people are putting automation to work. That's putting more power back in the hands of the worker. There are 3 million daily workflows that are run on Slack, and 80% of those workflows are built from the business users, not technology teams.
Fantastic. As they say, free your mind and the rest will follow. So your innocence, giving your customers the power to make technology work the way they want to rather than the reverse. And this flows into the theme of democratization of data to unlock business value for companies and employees. We're almost out of time, Rahul. So I want you to bring together whatever we have discussed, the key talking points in addressing this question of the role that cloud-based collaboration tools play in fostering remote teamwork and streamlining workflow processes. Your summary statement on this one.
I would say there's a concept that we talk about at Slack is deep work versus quick work. And think about quick works to be quick tasks that you have to finish, but you spend time logging into systems, bringing them up, and then, you know, completing that task. You know, you could almost just integrate that with the cloud-based collaboration productivity platform, right? Think about using those with tools which are like Huddles or Canvas or Threads, which can provide an open knowledge bank for the teams to work on. You know, unite that with AI and the real power of transformative work starts unlocking itself.
All right. Use the tools at your disposal to unlock magic for you and the company at your place of work and unlock value for your enterprise. That's the message coming in from Rahul. Thank you so much for joining us today, Rahul. And ladies and gentlemen, our conversation with Rahul Sharma has shed light on the ever-evolving landscape of workforce productivity. Now, from the current trend shaping the way we work to the role of collaboration tools in fostering real-time decision-making, Rahul has provided invaluable insights into navigating the complexities of the modern workplace. And it is evident that organizations must embrace digital transformation, leverage data-driven decision-making, and most importantly, prioritize employee experience to foster a holistic approach to productivity that just goes beyond mere output metrics. Thank you for joining us here on Mint, etc. Take care and be well.
So folks, that's it for this episode. You are listening to Mint, etc.
You can reach out to us on LinkedIn if you have any questions. Our handles are in the description.
This episode was produced by me, Deepthi Ahuja. It was edited by Amrinder Singh. Catch you next week.
To stay updated on this podcast, follow us at HD Smartcast on all the major social media platforms. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.hdsmartcast.com.